With me for my edition of Farmer Friday, I got Chris Larkin, just west of Ottumwa over there. Chris, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Well, glad to be here, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, as this will be the second time that we've chatted, so a lot of water has gone under the bridge, so to speak, over there on the Des Moines River. But tell us a little bit about how the planting is coming there at the Larkin area.
Yeah, you know, it started out really good, you know. Early April, mid-April, guys were able to work out ground and get it prepared, and I think a lot of crop got in, you know, right at the 10th of April, 15th, and then the rains come, and it's really, it's come to a halt here lately, Pat. Frequent rain that we did absolutely need, and, you know, the corn's up, some of the beans are up, there's still quite a bit of ground to be planted. And hopefully we can get back in the field soon, finish the job.
That's what I was going to ask you. What percentage you think you're done with the planting then?
Myself, I've got my corn in and, you know, ready to do the beans, which shouldn't take long. In the area, I would guess, you know, at least 40% and greater in some areas around southern Iowa, northern Missouri. Honestly, I think northern Missouri is probably ahead of that even. What's in the ground, but still a lot to be done. You know, the weather has stalled things here now, and I know everybody's wanting to get back at it and get it over with. It's that time of year that it needs to be done.
Well, I appreciate you said what you did about the rains. Definitely we needed those, but yeah, talk about the amounts of rains that you got.
You know, I know in our area from mid-April to the end of April, I think we got over 7 inches of rain, and then we've had a couple heavy rains here in early May. Pat, last year, the growing season for our row crop, we did not get 5 inches of rain from mid-May to the 1st of September. And this year we got 7 inches in late April. So quite a change. It's made a tremendous, it's really helped the hay crop and the grass. You know, the pastures really needed it, the hay as well, and that crop looks pretty good right now.
Well, from a personal standpoint, your ponds as well have been able to rise up, and you'd like to see that as well.
Yeah, very true, Pat. In fact, I had local contractor, Chad Leffler, he dug out a pond for me, did part of it last fall, and finished it just before the rains hit this year. That pond right now is over half full, and I don't think that it drains much more than 3 or 4 acres. And so, you know, I didn't expect it to get up that quick.
It's amazing to see, and you know as well as I do, from an agricultural standpoint, it is necessary that we did receive these rains. And I appreciate the fact that the river levels have come up as well, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. Glad to see that. You know, transport on the Mississippi has been a big concern for a couple of years. And really all this rain that's running through the Raccoon and Des Moines, you know, and getting into the Mississippi is going to help to raise that level for transporting grain and other products up and down the river, which is a big necessity for agriculture.
I'm going to say it's like the circle of life. One feeds the other, and it all comes back to the farmer, whether they're in this state or any other state. It really helps out. Talk about what's going on now at the Larkin area there. You got some activities going on with the cow-calf action.
Yes, correct, Pat. You know, I've turned out some of the cows to grass. I've still got a little bit of feed left, so I'm still feeding about half my cows, but they're going to go to grass this weekend. Got all the calves on feed and, you know, gonna finish the steers and some of the heifers, and they'll stay on feed throughout the summer. You know, and so it's a constant chore, you know, with feeding the livestock all the time. As well, you know, me and my son, and I've got a couple other guys, we do some custom AI work, and we're breeding a lot of cattle for other producers right now.
And that AI takes some timing. You have to make certain that things are lined up prior to that. Talk about that preparation in terms of getting that timing right, AI.
Yes, very true, Pat. Well, you know, producers, that we always talk earlier in the year, They pick a date when they want to breed their cattle and set up a protocol with the use of either the cedar product or MGA. They're both progesterone that help group the cattle into a ester cycle. You know, we're constantly setting up protocols for guys so we can breed their cattle at certain times. And, you know, we're on a schedule with them. They know when the cedars go in. They know when to start their MGA feeding. They know when to give their prostaglandin, which is estermate and luteolite, generally just days ahead of breeding the cattle. And then whether they're going to heat detect the cattle or just time AI the herd, put time to that and what days we're going to be there. So it takes a lot of forward planning in order to set it all up.
And, you know, the crazy thing about it, you've got to have the handling equipment to make it work. These animals are, you know, over 1,000 pounds in size. You don't want to be manhandling them. You want a piece of equipment that's going to be able to take care of business in terms of gathering them and then running them through the chute. And then, of course, the chute is very important as well to allow access to get to the animal. Talk about that.
Yes, and, you know, I'm going to say 100% of the guys I work with, you know, they're cowmen, and they understand the labor involved, what facilities they need to have, and I really don't have a problem with what they've got on location as well. You know, I've got a chute that I'm portable that I can bring to people's places, you know, to breed the cattle. And, you know, their corral systems and, you know, a lot of these guys we've worked with for 20 years. It's a job that my dad actually started almost 30 years ago. The quality of their corral systems, and these guys know how to handle cattle, and it's really an enjoyable thing to do, you know, when you're working with the people that I get to work with.
You got the end of the month of May is going to be Memorial Day. They always say that hay is the holiday crop. Have you took a look at your hay fields and see what is going on with them?
Yeah, you know, the grass is growing really well. You know, a lot of guys have sprayed for the weevils in their alfalfa. That's been a big problem here early on. There's a lot of guys that are spraying for that. And one of the fortunate things, the drones, they can use those now to spray that out and not have to be driving a machine over the ground because it's so darn wet out there. So I really think it's going to be, without question, it's going to be a better hay crop first cutting than we've had for 2 or 3 years. And, of course, we're looking forward to, you know, Memorial Day. The grilling season is always good for beef throughout the summer. So, you know, it's an important time for beef producers to see the grilling season come and graduation parties. Everybody wants to throw beef on the grill, and good times for a cowman.
May is beef month, as a matter of fact. Let's give one more question about that hay crop. What percentage on the bloom do you take a look at and say, boom, now I'm going to go? There's no sense getting that to 100% bloom. What do you look at?
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right, Pat. The protein level in the alfalfa is higher when you first start seeing the blooms out there. And so you do want to cut it early as opposed to, you know, letting it get aged to it. But yet a lot of that is timing and weather conditions. You know, is ground fit to be out there? We don't want to be tearing up the ground at all. And so that all plays a part in it. I know there are some guys that have been chopping the rye here for a cover crop feed the last few days, and they're struggling with it because of the ground conditions, but they're trying to get it done. Yeah, rye, I think, loses a lot of its value once it gets past the head. After it makes a head, the feed value of it can get down quickly. I know a lot of the guys are really working hard on that to get it up right now, and then they're going to plant a crop back into it, whether it's corn or beans. You know, there's a lot of pressure on those guys to get that done with the weather conditions the way they are.
Just like every year, it's always a gamble in the farming industry, and a lot of people don't understand that part of the business, but you really do have to do it on a timing practice to make everything work out the way you want it to.
Absolutely true. To get the highest quality out of the product, you know, it's a time-sensitive issue, you know, of getting things done and longer days, you know, in order to do so. everybody that's out here doing it knows what they've gotten themselves into. You know, we enjoy what we do for sure. But this is probably the highest pressure time of the year, as well with the fall when it's time to get the crop out. It's a busy time for the guys.
Continued success, and thanks again for being with me here on KIIC.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate the opportunity.